Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. We're gonna play on and stand strong. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on. Pump up the volume, it's time to play ball. With Drolo and Dibs, turn the game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the championship rounds, also known as the Hungry Hour here at 95.7 The Game. It's Joe, it's Lowe, it's Dibs. It's a big final hour for you. John Clayton, NFL insider extraordinaire, just around the corner. Danny White, Super Bowl champion. He was on the wrong end of Dwight Clark's famous catch. That's at 9.30. Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors, at 9.45. And then English Premier League locks and Bet 162 at 9.50. Big hour here. I hope you're ready.
I'm locked in.
For a guy who's fasting.
I've been poring over the numbers, and I found the perfect bet for the opening match of the English Premier League, which is today at noon, Liverpool and Norwich. Don't miss it. The Canaries going up against the Reds today, Joe. These two teams, well, they barely know each other.
Let's go to the dial pad guest line. NFL insider, radio host on 710 ESPN Seattle. He's one of the absolute best in the business. John Clayton, kind enough to join Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Professor, thank you for your time. It's greatly appreciated, as always. As we look around at the state of the National Football League right now, a couple big holdouts taking place. Ezekiel Elliott in Dallas, Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. How do you see these situations play out moving forward?
You still have to think that at some point that Jerry Jones will get something done with Ezekiel. Problem is, he doesn't want to go above Todd Gurley, and it's understandable because, you know, you can see that Gurley certainly has problems with that arthritic with knee, and there's only nine running backs making more than $6 million a year, so that's going to be a problem. But, you know, Gary always gets deals done, so I think in the end they'll do something there, and Gordon is just going to have to simply come back home and just accept that he's going to be under the one-year contract. Because I don't see the Chargers going above $10 or $11 million, and I don't think he's wrong in asking for 13 or 14. That's the market. But right now, the market in the National Football League is that they don't want to pay running backs top dollar, because when you look at the way that the salaries are going up, you know, now we're talking $19.2 million for a wide receiver, $20 million for a top defensive players, $35 million for a quarterback. You know, the way that the things goes, and Zoe, I mean. I hate to say this, but the way it goes for running backs, the five top positions for pay are quarterback, wide receiver, cornerback, tackle, and then the pass rusher. And so safeties and running backs are the ones that don't get the benefit.
No question, Professor. The running back position every year just seems to be continuing to be devalued. But in Seattle, you see that this team, I watched the way they played last night. Is this still a team that's going to depend on the run, or how much are they going to depend on Russell this year if they're going to make any noise to get to the playoffs?
Well, I mean, you have to, the way it goes. And I just did a thing for the Washington Post, and you know, it actually kind of revolved around both Dak Prescott and when you pay a quarterback. And if you don't have a running game to go with the top quarterback, it hurts. And I'll give you the example. There's been about seven examples since 2008 where if you have a top seven, top eight quarterback and you don't have the running game and you don't have, you give up more than 25 points a game, you're going to possibly have a losing record. But if you're a top quarterback and you have the running game and you have a defense that's going to give up less than 23 points a game, you're not going to have a losing season unless the quarterback gets hurt. And so that's why here's Ezekiel Elliott. He's a 66% passer. He's a guy that has won 66% of his games. But if he doesn't have Ezekiel, he's going to probably be, you know, in that 500 range and not a consistent playoff game. In the case of Russell, Russell's, you know, one of the top seven quarterbacks. Dak isn't. But having that running game makes it so much better for him. And watching him in practice every day, he's had his best off season. And so with the running game that they have, which, you know, is going to be among the top two or three or four in the league, Defense still has to be a question mark. That's why you really can't pin down where they're going to be as far as wins above 8 or 9, and if they're going to get above 8 or 9. But, no, offensively, this has a chance to be the best offense or one of the best offenses in Seahawks history, and that's because of the running game, the receivers who nobody knows about, and Russell Wilson.
Let's take that same model and apply it to the 49ers. You mentioned a quarterback, Jimmy G, if he stays healthy, and a defense that looks improved on paper, and a stable of running backs with McKinnon, Coleman, and Breida. Can that collection be a good enough team to be like Seattle, like you're talking about, with a winning record?
Yeah, I think it can be, but right now I'm concerned about the injuries, and this is another year. Like, I was supposed to be in San Francisco on Wednesday and Thursday doing the Sirius training camp tour, but because I had to be at the game on Thursday night, I couldn't be there. And I came out saying, hey, not a bad team, but boy, they can't hit injuries. And what happened in the last 2 days, you know, three days, you know, they have got now 5 guys in question for being there for the opener. And, you know, all of a sudden you start to wonder, is this going to be a little bit of a repeat of last year? You know, from Boza to Williams to, you know, McKinnon having a little bit of a setback on that ACL. All these things have to be concerning. Because, and then D Ford with the arthritic knee, you know, the big thing that they were able to do in San Francisco is get the 2 ends. And that, of course, was going to be the key to get them to 8 or 9 wins. And whoever the running back's going to be with Kyle Shanahan, you know they're going to be able to run the ball. His scheme, you know, can take undrafted guys, drafted guys, you name it, and it's going to work. And so if Bosa and Ford can come in and get that defense under 23 points a game, and Garoppolo stays healthy, then you can think 8 or 9 wins. But if it's going to be in question right now because of the injuries, then you just don't know.
John Clayton, NFL Insider with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Do you envision any type of scenario in which Garoppolo could play very poorly this year, possibly get hurt again, to where the Niners would say, that's it, we've seen enough, we're going to move on? There are some contract outs that would make it not all that expensive for them to do so.
Well, I think it would depend on who would be available, because if things go bad, you know, I think they'll stand by him one more year. And you know what's going to end up happening. You know, as long as Kyle Shanahan is going to be coaching this team, and Kirk Cousins eventually becomes available. Now, he's not available this year, he's not available next year, then that's where the switch would be. So I think everybody has 2 years. And I anticipate Jimmy, I mean, Jimmy's solid. I mean, you can look at the way that he throws, the way that he leads, and all those things, but then injuries are a big question. And you look at, you know, quarterbacks that have injury histories, and of course, he hasn't had enough of a volume right now to say he has an injury history, because it was just an ACL. And so now what you look at is that that could be a problem. Marcus Mariota still hasn't shaken the ability to shake injuries. And so that has to be something that you put into the resume. But, no, I still look at this team. If they're healthy, and again, it's like they'll have the running game, then they can win 8 or 9, and I think Garoppolo will still be – I mean, Garoppolo has 2 years to, I think, get things done.
Hey, Professor, you just talked about them winning 8 or 9, so – is it Seattle and the Rams that are going to run away with this, with the NFC West? And what about the Rams losing some of their offensive line? Defense doesn't have lost some guys. Is this a team that you think is going to take a step back?
I think they'll take a step back, but I still think they'll be at the front of the division, because, you know, there were 13 wins last year, and what was it? They were 5-1, 6-1 in games decided by one possession. And usually what happens the next year, you lose a couple of those games that are close, and then you look at some of the things that are there on the negative side. You're right, 2 starters on the offensive line, including Roger Saffold, and then you got Andrew Whitworth, who's great, but can he continue to do it at age 37 and 38? Then, you know, they took a couple losses on defense, but then what you look at there is that so far I'm hearing great reviews of what they're able to do with Clay Matthews and what they're able to do with Eric Weddle. So so I think at the worst it would be 2 games where they win 11. You know, they can still get to 12, and then Seattle right now, I think you have to pin down at 9 until they figure out if they have a pass rush or not. And so at the moment, until Ziggy Ansah, and this is where it comes down to, at the moment, you can probably look at until Ziggy Ansah is healthy, that the best pass rusher they have is Cassius Marsh. And you saw him maybe as the best pass rusher on the 49ers, but they only had 7 turnovers.
not too many takeaways, and the Niners will need to turn that around if they're going to move up in the standings this year. Arizona's a team that I'm struggling to figure out what to make of. Kyler Murray looked good in a short debut last night. Do you think that he'll be able to show enough early on in the season to make Arizona formidable in that division?
No, because I think they have too far to go. They've got the an offensive line that I think still has to be concerning. You know, defensively, they've made a lot of changes, but how much better are they? And so that's, I think, the big question. So I think that, you know, Murray's in the same situation that Josh Rosen was in, although I think that Murray looks to me to be much better than Josh Rosen, even though Rosen was coming out of college, the guy that looked to me last year to be the best in line to be able to come in and make an impact in the NFL. So I think that he's off to a great start. I think he's generated excitement. I mean, it's interesting to see a four-receiver set in this league and the air raid offense. Those things are positive, but I don't know if he can cover for all the things that right now are wrong with the Cardinals on the roster.
Professor, NFC South, who's your front runner? If you had to make a prediction, look at Atlanta, Carolina Panthers, Saints, and Tampa. Who would be your front runner?
Saints. And because you know, you look at everything, and you know the big thing that they've been able to do, you know, Jeff Ireland gets down there. They have the great draft on defense where they get, Marcus Lattimore and they get Marcus Williams. They were able to get last year Marcus Davenport. And so they got a pretty decent defense. You know how good they are on the offense with Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara has been sensational. So I think right now you look at that roster, I think they're the best team. Don't sleep on Carolina. You know, Carolina, I think they've improved their defense. You know, Cam Newton should be okay with the shoulder. We still don't know 100% if he can make it through the season. And if he doesn't get out of his mind that he's not a linebacker, you don't have to try to power through all the defensive players and get your shoulder hurt as he did the last couple of years. You know, they're going to be right in there. They're a playoff caliber team. And Atlanta, I don't know. I mean, I just saw them last week at the Hall of Fame game. There's something good and something shaky about them because what's going to be good is the offense. You know, Matt Ryan, who hasn't played yet in the first two games, he'll put up 5,000 yards with the offensive weapons that he has. But and defensively, they're kind of like the San Francisco 49ers in the sense that two or three injuries and they're in trouble. That was the case last year. So I don't know. I'm kind of skeptical about them. And then Tampa Bay, they're just not going to be very good.
Final question, Professor. Are you buying or selling all the hype surrounding the Cleveland Browns?
I'm buying it to a certain degree, so I guess what it is, I'm kind of putting it on credit card with a 24-hour cancellation date. Because on paper, it looks great. And you saw on the field, it looked real good last night against the Washington Redskins team that just didn't show up. And so what I still wonder about is that you know Baker Mayfield, as good as he is, and he looked really good, and the wide receivers look good, the defense has a lot of talent. You know, what happens when they have adversity? And remember, I mean, say what you want, and Zoe can talk about this too. He's like, if you haven't known how to win, can you win? And so that has to be there. And can Freddie Kitchens get that out of him?
Sure.
But, you know, they're right now, in my opinion, the second best team in the AFC North. Because I think at the moment, you know, they'll get better quarterback play than they're going to get from Lamar Jackson, who didn't do poorly yesterday. But I get the edge right now. A playoff wild card, maybe not a division winner.
Great stuff as always. NFL insider and radio host on 710 ESPN Seattle, John Clayton with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Professor, thank you for your time. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you.
All guests appear on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. Connect your team with a business communication platform that powers voice, video, messages, and meetings across existing devices. Danny White coming up at 9:30, Tim Roy at 9:45, EPL Locks, Bet162 at 9:50. I want to jump into some key names to watch for tomorrow's Niners-Cowboys showdown. But first, you're climbing up sales tower like Spider-Man, from what I understand?
Pretty much. That's pretty much the way it's going to happen. So San Francisco stair climb's coming up. I'm going to be doing it with Guru this year. And we're going up Salesforce Tower, though, this year. Last year, it was 52 flights. Now we're going up 61. So that's 1,762 stairs. And it's all for a great cause. It's actually was brought to bring awareness and support to first responders who suffer from post-traumatic stress injuries and distress. It's held around 9/11 every year in honor of those first responders who had passed away during 9/11. So it's a great cause. And if you go to my Twitter account, also 957thegame.com, you can see the link on where to donate. And we're doing a kind of little team intercom, basically. The whole cluster is doing this. So we have different teams. I'm obviously part of team 957 The Game. game. But the other teams are going to do a little competition amongst ourselves. Right now, leading the way is KCBS. They have over $2,000 that they've raised, $2,128. Team Alice has $1,898. We have $957, interestingly enough. But we'd like a little bit
that
more.
That sounds.
I can show it to you right now.
It sounds very sticky.
I saw that. I did a double take. I was like, all right, that's kind of convenient. But
the problem is you got Guru in there.
He could do it.
You want to draw big time money, you go with big time people. What's Alice using? Who's doing it for Alice?
Let me double check, actually. I will get that for you in a moment here. I'll look it up.
It's
though.
Guru. It's dragging everything
I know
down.
Hooman's
he's
going to
go in
it.
There. He's going to panic. One minute, he's going to be able to handle it. The next minute, it's panic.
She had to wait on him last year going up the stairs.
He's big, too. He's not built for something like that.
Well, he's preparing differently.
He's preparing differently. Yeah, Anna clapped him up and waved him up, and she tried to get him to get up those stairs. So he's going to really – he wants to finish this year a lot faster.
But I will say, if you do donate, we will give you a little shout on the air. I did get two new donations yesterday, George and Georgette Kritikopoulos. Thank you to the Greeks. Also,
Shocker.
Marie Kubitakis.
How about any non-Greeks?
Yes,
are there any non-Greek donations?
Yes, I do have non-Greeks.
Such as?
Sabina Khan was one of them, and the other one was Victoria Najjar.
All right. That's nice. Let's keep it balanced. Let's not just shout out Greeks under the guise of donations.
I honored them yesterday. I gave them the shout out yesterday. They got a double shout out now. So there you go.
So, okay, what about the non-Greeks? Are they getting double shout-outs?
No, I gave the shout-out to the ones that I just mentioned that were non-Greeks.
Oh, double shout-out to the non-Greeks.
Yes, the two that I announced today were the half.
You can also
Greeks.
Then double shout-out the Greeks. It's just as long as everyone's even. No one can be above anyone else. It's 2019.
Of
Everything
course.
Has to be fair and balanced across the board. Sexuality, religion, gender, all of this stuff has to be balanced. So if the Greeks get two shout-outs, everyone else gets two shout-outs.
They only got one. They only got
but
one.
But they can get two is what I'm saying.
No.
I'm not trying to put the Greeks down. I'm trying to just keep them on the level of everyone else.
Of course, even playing field here.
Yeah, that's all we do. It's all about fair and balance.
Well, even playing field maybe from this standpoint, but you versus Guru, not an even playing field. I just punched up the results from last year, Anna's time versus Daryl the Guru Johnson's time.
You got that?
What do you think the margin of victory was between the Greek freak, for lack of a better way to describe your skill set, and Daryl the Guru Johnson.
Maybe
Anna Kagarakis beat Daryl Johnson.
Jeez, I don't even know what an average time to get to the top is. So I'll say
I'll give you this
minutes.
For perspective.
No, I don't want perspective. I'm just going to give you an answer. I'm going to give you 9 minutes flat.
9 minutes? What did Anna beat Guru by? Low?
I would say maybe a minute and a half. 2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Do you know the margin of victory?
I actually don't remember. I don't remember.
And you were there.
5 minutes and 44 seconds. Anna's time, 16 minutes and 12 seconds. Guru.
Wait, 16 minutes, 12 seconds to do how many floors?
That was 52 last year.
That's pretty good.
I wore the jacket yesterday, and I got a jacket in honor of
I thought it would take like an
class.
Hour. Like this Salesforce thing, I would, if I don't die, I'd give myself, I need an hour.
You beat Guru by 5 minutes?
Yeah, but Guru
in
did it in 21
seconds.
Minutes?
Yeah. 21
That's still 56. Pretty impressive to me.
What do you mean?
No, that's a huge undertaking. As soon as the incline got too much for the cardiologist yesterday, I said, stop, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not doing any more of this. I would have been at like level 4. It's only a handful of minutes.
I'm starting to tingle.
The winning time, by the way.
I'll donate. I'm not.
What's the winning time?
The winning time was 8:46.
What do you win?
You, I don't know.
Nothing. Exactly. You win nothing.
You got a nice
8
jacket.
Minutes to run up the steps.
I got a really nice jacket for being like the top in my age group in class.
Have you ever worn the jacket?
I didn't wear it yesterday. You weren't here.
She wore it.
Yeah,
she
yesterday for the promotion. I'm sure I'll see it at some point. We'll be running the hell out of this.
I cannot believe Guru by 5 minutes. Wow.
Does that really surprise you? She's little. He's huge.
Oh, my God.
Well, I need a mimosa.
This is a contest that favors a lighter weight and a smaller body frame. It's a vertical climb.
We could take double steps.
If it's you versus Nice Guy Steven up Half Dome, I'm taking Nice Guy Steven.
You would lose, and you would lose.
You're going to beat Nice Guy Steven up Half Dome in Yosemite.
You think Anna can give me up the stairs?
No, I know you. We've done the stairs. No, we've done the stairs. He beats me no problem because he's got that down.
And it's interesting that you got a sweatshirt 24th in your age group and your gender group. 24th.
They sent me some letter. I got to find
you're
it.
You're usually on the wrong end of this data. Now she's on the wrong end.
They sent me a letter saying I was on the top. Okay, I guess I was wrong.
You better hope there are 1,000 people.
Who's acting hungry now, Anna?
Why do you do that?
Maybe she was close to the middle. Because
in the middle. I guess
Brody's
so.
In the middle.
Maybe they were just.
Why don't you just meet me in the middle?
She's 24th in what? In her category?
Out of 50 among women aged 30 to 49. That was the gap.
Age 30 to 49 women.
Right.
And you're she's on in that the group. Young end of that demo, and you still finish near the middle?
I guess so.
I'm sorry.
I was so insane.
All right. I'm donating to Alice. Who's doing it for Alice? I want to be on a winning team. I want my money going to a winning team.
Oh, man. Now I got to really work hard this year.
I want winners.
You're working two mics right now. I'm working two computers.
You're doing a great job.
They sent me a letter saying I was one of the top finishers.
I told you, it's 2019. It's all about participation.
Everybody get
everybody got an award.
But Guru didn't get a jacket. He was all bummed about it. Like, oh.
Okay, what's the likelihood that that's user error? That Guru left too early or gave him the wrong address or forgot to pick up the jacket?
What's wrong with the participation trophy?
A lot, Guru.
Those drops were gold yesterday, too, by the way.
Why?
Do you have Guru's final results?
I will punch him up in his group. But, yeah, Anna finished behind Jocelyn Goforth and ahead of Noelia Ruiz and Hell. 24th out of 50. Not to disparage, but...
No. I went slow.
Yeah, now we get
steady.
The so Guru would be men 30 to 45.
Yeah,
wait a minute, is he men 30 to 45?
What day? Is
I thought
is
he was
Saturday
actually older than that.
Well, it's on a Saturday.
Wow, you know what? He might
when
be.
When is it again?
It's September 7th.
I just
want to do it.
Stop.
Are
you know you're
it?
Not. Just
come on.
If I was in town, I would do it.
Yeah. See, there it is.
That's
the week that I'm going to.
It's for the first responders. My husband's the first responder.
Yeah, I would totally do it.
Me too. I really wanted to do it this year, just like last year. I just, I got things going on.
I'll give you some money, but thanks. I will go and just do it for you and just to see that I would crush their time just for you. True friend.
But you're not going to.
Yes, I will. That's what I'm telling you. I'll do it. If we go to a, not that day, but if you just want me
you're
to
gonna
go.
You're going to do it, but you're not going to do it. Okay. Yeah, me too. Me too. I'm also going to be there doing it. I'm going to crush everyone's time. Donate money to me. What's the out?
It'll be anonymous, right?
Daryl is actually in the in my group, men 46 to 60.
I told you, you're looking in the wrong group. Guru's way older than
first,
anyone thinks.
How many
he
people?
Looks young.
If
he
I
acts
may,
young.
I looked at the younger group first, and finishing in second to last place was our very own Bonte Hill.
Second to last?
That was men 30 to 45.
Oh, my God.
His time was even slower than Daryl the Guru Johnson. Daryl the Guru Johnson finished sixth to last in his group, finishing a minute and a half behind everyone's favorite 95.7 The Game spouse, Pete Franco. So Pete Franco,
right. Pete Franco.
Gianna's husband,
yes,
also in my
out.
Group, 46
he
to 60.
He beat Guru and
also
Bob. Yeah, he's not flying. I was pounding beers with him not too long ago.
Now
I don't
think
he's flying up the steps.
Right.
Shout out, Pete. That's a good
Pete,
time.
Good job, Pete.
So Pete annihilates Guru and Bonte.
He smote both the brothers.
First of all,
just say it. He
Anna,
beat both the brothers.
It wasn't a racial thing for me. None of it was racial at any point for me until you said that.
Anna devastates Pete. Pete edges Guru. Guru humbles Bonte.
Wow.
That's the way it all broke down.
I might need to go get a facial. Thank you, Dims.
That's you're welcome, Zoe.
Great
the professor
breakdown.
I call you.
Great
So congratulations on the hoodie. Top 24 get a hoodie, apparently, in every
top 24. Top 24 get a hoodie.
Not just top 12.
She came in with the jacket on. I was like, oh, wow, good job.
I was surprised
nice.
When they sent me that. They're like, you got this because you were one of the top of the class. I was like, sweet, okay.
I have said
I
this
really
from day one. She is so full of crap. Everyone.
Yeehaw. Stop telling my
everyone
secrets.
Eats it up because she smiles and she's so friendly.
So cute.
And she is.
So friendly.
She's so friendly. She's so nice. Nice, but she is also full of crap, and no one is willing to see through it. You too. I'll do it. It's just I'm away that weekend. Me too. Like I said,
I'm away
so
that weekend.
So Stibbs is going to do it too.
Well.
He's away.
Man.
Bonte actually beat someone? It sounded like you said.
Yeah.
Second to last.
Who's that guy?
Well, my God.
Let's get that guy on the air.
Please.
See if he's still breathing.
Right.
Wow. Former Kansas City Royal outfielder Willie Wilson. It's not really that Willie Wilson, but it is a Willie Wilson.
I was like, wow.
Yeah, Bonte got him by 6.5 minutes, so maybe the guy was stuck in the elevator.
Are you going to go do a practice run, Anna? If you do, I'll go with you.
I don't want to make any jokes about Willie Wilson because I don't know the details.
I don't know me.
I'm like, we're on really shaky ground here. Let's transition back to the people we know and mock them.
And tip of the cap to all you guys for going out there and doing it. It really is a great event for a
great
cause.
I appreciate it.
It's really great.
But just remember, Anna...
I want winners.
Don't lose to those guys this year.
Yeah, no.
You got our show
I'm,
pride on the line.
Basically, you laid out all the reasons why I'm not donating to 95.7.
Come on.
Top 24
gets
a hoodie.
I'm going to donate. It's all the money goes to the same cause, right? So I'm donating to someone else.
Google, you know,
someone get KCBS on the phone. Tell them to give me a non-sob story like I just got from RP.
Kevin the Rat had a monster time, by the way, for KCBS.
Google will beat Anna this year.
Yeah, I'm backing a winner.
Yes, I'm putting money on I'm putting money that Google will beat you this year.
Okay.
Well, the spread opened up.
I guarantee Guru does not beat her.
Kakarakis is given 4 minutes.
She's another year removed from childbirth. She's in better shape. Guru's another year towards a grave.
Guru's been training.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
I've seen the IG videos of him on the treadmill.
Yes.
IG live.
Yeah.
I'm putting in work. I'm excited.
I'm Batman.
Lowe's willingness to do it, but the fact that he's busy, that's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromise. Guess what? If you go to Fremont Bank, they'll be there. If they say they're open, they're open. They're not just open and then not open. They want to be open, but they aren't. Fremont Bank, you can bank on them. The opposite of Zoneal. I'd love to give you a retort, but we're out of time. Danny White, locks, EPL locks, picks, so much stuff going on. But here's Anna and a 24th place update with what's coming up on the game.
Oh, I'm so hurt right now. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Stanford Healthcare. 49ers host the Cowboys tomorrow in their first preseason game. Jolo and Dibs want to know, is this matchup still a rivalry? The guys will ask former Cowboy Danny White. He was the quarterback during the catch game that changed the franchise forever. He'll join the show next. Quite a few Niners that will miss tomorrow's game because of injury. For the latest news and updates, NFL Network's Brian Baldinger will be in studio today with Bonte, Sandy, and Guru for their entire show from 10 to 2. Raiders host the Rams tomorrow in their first exhibition match. On the diamond, the Giants end their four-game skid with a 5-0 win over the Phillies. Madison Bumgarner took a no-hitter into the sixth, tossing 7 innings, giving up just 1 hit. And coming up, voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, has some announcements to share at 9:45. Then we've got Bet 162 for now, Amanda Kagarakis. On the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7, The Game.
Joe Low and Dibs continues on 95.7, The Game.
Yeah, Guru's upset. Guru's real upset. Guru came storming in here before we could even finish the end of the segment. So for everyone out there who's listening to the last segment, whatever you're predicting, it all came true. Joe Low and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. We're down to the home stretch here for the week. Here's how it's going to break down. Tim Roy is going to join us in about 12 minutes or so. Talk a little basketball, some Chase Center experience stuff. Bet 162 has your lock for the day. EPL, English Premier League locks, courtesy of Dibs at 9:50. But right now, we go to the dial pad guest line. Very happy to welcome on our next guest. Super Bowl champion, former Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl quarterback, the great Danny White, with Joe Low and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Danny, thank you for your time. How's life treating you?
Oh, it's good, guys. Good to be with you. It's probably better for you than it is for me. It's about 60% humidity and about 105 degrees, and I just came off the golf course, and I'm soaking wet. So other than that, things are going pretty well.
How you hitting them these days?
You know, not bad for an old guy. I'm no Tony Romo, but I can still play the game competitively, and you know, that's what matters. You know, as you get older, your goals change. It's not about shooting a certain score. It's about at least being not embarrassing yourself, you know, let me put it that way.
Amen. I hear you there, Danny. And it's all about moving forward, playing the forward tees. And I know it's just preseason football, but you get the Cowboys and the Niners. You get the Niners and the Cowboys. And for those of us who are fans of the football and this rivalry, it still is a little bit exciting. When you think about Niners and Cowboys, even though it's preseason, does it bring back and stir up some of those great memories gone by?
Yeah, you know, some things change, and a lot of things about the game. The stadiums are different. You know, the players are different. The salaries are obviously different. But certain things just kind of stick in your brain. And if you're 40 or 50 years old or older, the great rivalries, at least for me, of course, you know, I'm in the middle of it, and I was there at the games with the Redskins and the games with the 49ers and the games with the Steelers, you know, were just extra special. And, you know, because of the catch and because of the implications of some of those games that we had with the 49ers, even though we weren't in the same division, we didn't play them twice a year, you know, similar to the Steelers. The Redskins, of course, you know, it was every year. But because we played in so many big games, the 49ers will always hold a special place, you know, in my heart. And, you know, Candlestick Park and Texas Stadium and just, you know, Montana and Steve and just great memories. And again, you know, we started out talking about golf. Well, you know, again, it's the relationships. You know, the money gets spent, the records get broken, but those relationships are eternal, man. I mean, your family, your friends, the guys you played against. And I hated Joe Montana. I mean, I if I could have, you know, met him in a dark alley someday and some night and taken him out, I would have. But getting to know him, and of course, I've known Steve Young for a long time. Great, great guys. And Dwight Clark and you know, it's just, you know, that's what's special about those rivalries for me.
Sure.
Anyway.
Hey, a great way to put it, Danny. Really appreciate your time. You know, I remember the Music City Miracle was part of a play in the NFL. The catch is just like unbelievable. That, like you said, I know where I was at on the field. I just remember it like yesterday. You were in that stadium. When the catch, you talked about Dwight Clark and the catch, him and Joe Montana. Where were you standing? What were you thinking? You know, you're watching you're watching your defense or you're watching the offense. What were you doing at that moment? Were you holding your breath? What were you thinking and doing that moment?
Well, I had just punted because I was, you know, not only the starting quarterback, but I was also the punter. And we put him out of bounds at the 10-yard line and they had to go the length of the field against our – and we had our nickel defense in, and here comes Bill Walsh. Now, this was the beginning of the genius of Bill Walsh. He runs the ball down the field against our nickel defense, and, you know, and here I'm – where you ask where I was on the field. I was about 10 feet from Montana when he threw that ball.
Mm.
And I swear to this day, and he and I have had – discussions about it that he was not throwing a pass that he thought would be completed, you know, but he had to get it over too tall and D.D. Lewis, who were bearing down on him, he's falling backwards, he throws it, I think he probably threw it just as hard as he could, you know, in that position, and you know, you just got to hand it to him. I mean, they made the plays, and then but what people don't realize is that we get the ball back with 40 seconds to go, and the first pass, maybe the best throw I made in my life, in my career, I just told Drew to just run a 20-yard in route, you know, and he did. And Drew had a knack for timing the pass. He made every pass look like it was a perfectly thrown ball, and he did that well in this one. He broke at just the right time, timed it up, catches the ball on a dead run, and Eric Wright gets him by literally by a finger, the back of his jersey, or he scores a touchdown. And you know, this is part of the greatness of the game of football. We never talk about the catch. You know, if Eric Wright doesn't bring him down, and he scores, and we win the game, the catch is just another play. But as it turned out, it ends up being. And now we need 10 more yards to kick a field goal and win the game. And the next play, I pulled a pass, second guess, pulled it down, tried to tuck it in and got hit and fumbled. And then that's that, you know. They made the play. Joe made the play. I didn't. And that's the bottom line. And those are the things that make a difference when you get into the playoffs.
Super Bowl champ Danny White, kind enough to join Jolo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Looking back on your career, so many highs, so many lows. It's such a historic rivalry. How hard was it to get over that loss, the catch, versus some of the other ones you had to go through throughout your career? Was that the toughest one?
Well, no, because we were coming back. You know, I don't think anybody picked us to even make the playoffs that year. And yet here we were playing, you know, in the championship game. And so we exceeded expectations. So the game was over, and, yeah, we lost a tough one. But I remember feeling pretty good about our team and what we had done that year, what we had accomplished. And then I got back to Dallas and it just, you know, made the mistake of reading the newspaper and listening to the talk shows and, you know, just getting ripped over not, you know, not getting to the Super Bowl. And those were the expectations back then. And, you know, Roger set a really high bar for quarterbacks and I understood that. So I, you know, for the people that really mattered, the people that really knew, and I'm talking about the coaches, the players, the people in the locker room, and, you know, it was a good year. But then to do that 3 years in a row, it ended up turning into a negative. But, you know, we went to the championship game 3 years in a row, all on the road, Redskins, 49ers, Eagles, started out with the Eagles, And so, you know, three pretty good runs. I think Cowboy fans would be happy with three championship games in a row now because the expectations are different. But, yeah, a lot of highs, a lot of lows. But that's the great thing about football as a microcosm of life is, you know, you got to try to even all that out. You got to stay balanced and, you know, not get too down when you have a bad day and not get too high when you have a good one.
Very well said. Super Bowl champ and former Dallas Cowboys Pro Bowl quarterback, the great Danny White with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Danny, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for jumping on. Enjoy your weekend and good luck with the golf game.
Hey, I'm headed your way tomorrow. So thank you very much. It's great to be with you and I'll love to talk ball with you anytime.
Absolutely. So would we. Thank you so much, Danny.
Okay, guys.
Nice taking that trip down memory lane, hearing it from the other perspective, especially when it's someone who, you know, you were on the wrong end of it, but it's not like it's bitter, right? You've been through enough. You have the memories. You share them. You talk about them. That stuff's great.
I think my favorite part of all that was, I dropped back and I had to punt the ball away because, you know, I was the punter at the time. And you're like, what?
Wow.
The quarterback was the punter?
How about talking about the play as he's trying to lead him down the field? I just told him run a 20-yard in. Wait, what is this, a Sandlot game?
Right.
Didn't the play come in from the sideline with a whole lot of, you know, specific details?
The route tree?
Yeah.
No, just run down there about, you know, 20 steps and turn. I'll go ahead and throw it to you, Drew. And those guys were unbelievable, the connection he had. And obviously before him, Roger Staubach. And the great 70s Cowboys passing offense was just unbelievable.
Oh, you get guys still doing that now today. That they break the huddle and he goes up to that one receiver and says, hey, make sure you get on that square and you make sure you come on that 20-yard, come hard on that, you know, even though it's a route that's been called. Guys, you know, quarterbacks, they know who they want to go to, and especially in moments like that, and that's why he called that number.
Dibs, I got dudes on Twitter sending me screenshots of notifications that you've blocked them and they want me to tell you or ask you if you'd be willing to unblock them. Should I acknowledge any of this?
Definitely. I need to go through my block list and, you know, sometimes people catch me in the wrong mood. You come at me or...
No, come on. You're an even keel guy.
Coming up in an hour and 15, I become delightful again when I get to eat, Anna. But when people come at me and use profanity... And if they disparage the station or the show directly, you just blocked. I have no tolerance for that. I don't give people a second chance and all that. You know what? I don't need you. When a fly lands on you in your house and you see it, you have two choices. You can shoo the fly, and then you know the fly is going to come back and land on you with its diseased body and spew vomit on you.
Jeez.
Or you take the fly and you hunt it down and you swat the fly. For me... I go ahead and swat the fly. And in this case, you're blocked. Bye-bye, fly. I'll trap you in the window. I'll close the window and let you spend your last days trapped in the window before you eventually perish. You're blocked.
Oh, my God.
That was vivid.
If I can't swat you, I'm going to trap you in the window. And if I can't trap you in the window, I'm going to go get Cliff the cat, and he's going to go ahead and take care of my light work. So, yes, Joe, if you want to share with me the accounts.
Wet work. I think it's called wet work.
Yeah, that's right. I will go ahead and review my block list and, yeah, maybe unblock some folks.
Oh, man.
Not including Marcy, by the way, from Fresno. She remains the queen of team block.
Just a simple Giants fan who listens to the show every single day, block that individual.
You need to unblock
her. And do you know why?
I want you to unblock
her. It's because on Twitter, this individual will take personal shots of me, and she attacks me. So you know what, Fly? You're blocked. Live out your life in the window.
You're trapped in the window.
Trapped in the window, Mars.
Okay, no easy way to do this, so we'll just go to the dial pad guest line. He's the voice of the Golden State Warriors.
Oh.
Good friend of the program, not blocked by anyone. Tim Roy with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's been a while, Tim. How's summer treating you?
Summer's going okay. You know, it's just doing a few things here and there and having some fun. And Dibs, thank you so much for that wonderful lead-in. You
know, wow.
Nothing like talking about fly vomit to really get the listeners' attention.
Tim, let me ask you what happens when a fly lands on you. Do you know, Tim, do they just land and then is it like a touch and go, like when an airplane hits the runway and then goes back up in the sky?
The swatter comes out then.
Exactly my point. Or in this case, the Twitter block, which is the SWAT of the fly world. Tim, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
The Warriors' preseason schedule is out. Is there a mistake, or are they really playing the Lakers four of their five games? And if so, what the hell is going on?
I don't know. It's very unusual. I've never seen a schedule like that.
Never.
And especially a team inside your division. I mean, sometimes, you know, when you go over to a foreign country or you're in Hawaii when the Lakers were training there and the Warriors would go over, you're not playing them twice in a row. Okay, that's what you have to do. But I've never seen anything like this, and it's going to be very interesting because especially a team that you're going to see four more times during the regular season, you know, the familiarity breeds contempt rule could come into play there between these two squads.
Tim Roy joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Long season, not just for the players, for you as well, though. I mean, this is five straight years of trips to the finals, so I'm sure you get to enjoy and appreciate that R&R. But can you believe after all the talk that the Chase Center opening is right around the corner?
It's crazy. It's crazy to think that, you know, the Chase, and yesterday when they released the preseason schedule, it kind of hit home again. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know, in a month, in a couple of weeks, we're going to be a month away from the start of training camp, and the Chase Center is going to open up, and it's going to be great. It's going to be one of the best venues, I think, in the world, to be honest with you. And so it's going to be it's a real exciting time right now for the Warriors.
Are you looking for real estate in San Francisco like Steph Curry to ease the commute?
Yes, I'm putting out something, you know, on Craigslist. Please let me stay at your house.
That's great. What are the fans in for when they get to the Chase Center? Is it how unbelievable? Have you been able to check it out? And what do you think? If so,
it's jaw dropping, to be honest with you. It's going to be a palace, and there's so many. You know, the experience is going to be entirely different. You know, I love Oracle, and it's one of my, you know, favorite buildings of all time, and, you know, what a great, you know, memory it gave us. But when you went to Oracle, you got in your car and you went home after the game, you know, because there's nothing around there, you know, to go and do. This way, it's going to be much more of an experience. You can go there, get some breakfast or get some dinner, rather, and then watch a game or do it the other way around. Maybe go out and have dinner after a game. So it's just going to be totally, totally different. And one of the things the Warriors are going to do, you know, when you travel around the NBA, there's a couple of these cities that have these sections. Because it's almost like a college rooting section. And the Warriors are looking for fans who want to have that kind of experience at their games. They're going to have a section where you're going to be rooting all game. You're going to be able to get special ticket prices, some Warrior swag, and some other things.
Like a student section sort of thing.
So like a student section, yeah, like Milwaukee has one. In the old building, they had one that was literally down to the right of my broadcast location, and they were going all game long. And Indiana last year, their section, they were very creative with their chants, especially when the Lakers came to town. So it's going to be the building overall is going to be great. I think this section is something that's going to just add to the atmosphere. You know, and so if you're anybody out there is interested, just contact the Warriors, and they'll help you out.
I got to ask, are you being attacked by a canine right now?
No, I got one of my rescues here, and he is the protector of the backyard, and some birds dared to fly over our territory, so he's letting them know this is a no-fly zone here. So he's 14. He's getting up there, but he's still hanging around.
That's awesome. And congrats on having a rescue dog. No easy way to transition from a veteran dog to a veteran broadcaster. Jim Barnett going to be joining you this year on the radio side. How pumped are you? I know you like working alone. You've done it so well for so long as the play-by-play voice of this team. But to add Jim Barnett, that's got to be pretty fun for you going into a new building with a new partner.
Yeah, you know, the exciting part about this is last year Jim and I have been thrown together in the second round of the playoffs and beyond, which has been great. But it's hard on radio to get a great rhythm, you know, going when you're dealing with those kind of games and you haven't really worked that much together during the regular season. So this will be an opportunity for us to get into a really great rhythm, and I'm looking forward to that. And you know, when I think radio, it's hard for an analyst to be really, really good because of the lack of time you get in the NBA to make your point. But when you add, you know, a quality analyst and somebody as good as Jim, then really it's going to be, I think, a great addition to the broadcast and will allow us to do some things that maybe we can't when I'm working alone. So looking forward to it. JB is going to be a lot of fun. And I'm actually, you know, I'm excited about this season. You know, we're talking about camp. You know, last couple of years, training camp, you could just feel like, okay, it's the regular season and veteran team, and they know that, you know, what happens in the next 3 months really doesn't matter that much. And you could kind of feel that fatigue, maybe that mental fatigue around the team. I think this year with so many young players, you know, the Warriors are going from being one of the older teams to one of the younger teams in the NBA, I think the vibe's going to be different. You know, a lot of guys are going to be vying for playing time, a lot of new faces. So I think there's going to be a different spirit this year in training camp.
Tim Roy, the voice of the Warriors with Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Tim, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your offseason. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Now, is it bees and wasps on the table next hour? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, Dibs? It's going to be aphids and mosquitoes, Jim. That's coming up just after this.
Aphids. Well done. Well done, Tim.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
See you guys.
All right, EPL locks. English Premier League starts today.
Yes, 12 o'clock. It's Liverpool defending Champions League winners against Norwich, a team that was recently promoted. Liverpool's minus 700 to win this game, so I like the alternate line. You give two goals. Liverpool -2, which means they need to win by 3, but it's plus 110. Take Liverpool, lay the two goals. It's going to be an opening day blowout. Liverpool probably will win 4-0 or 4-1. Take Liverpool, give the two goals. You're getting plus 110. That's your EPL lock of the day.
Do you have a pick for who will win the English Premier League?
Yeah, I think it's Man City again. Man City.
4 straight, that would be?
I think it'd be 3 straight.
Looking for 3 straight?
Yeah, and I mean, they're a juggernaut. Liverpool's going to be there as well. Tottenham with some late transfers, they'll be good. Those three teams will be duking it out, but I like City to win it all.
Bet162, a loser yesterday, down 1,387 on the year today. Not screwing around with it. Had it out before the show even started. Phillies -1.5. It's Drew Smyly. He's a lefty. The Giants can't hit lefties. For the Giants, it's Tyler Beede. He's been lit up repeatedly as of late. Lay the 1.5. It's plus 150. Max bet 300 to win 450. Phillies -150.
Big for you.
That's it. We're done. It's Steiny. It's Guru. It's Bonte. Brian Baldinger is going to be in studio with them for the entire show. It's going to be great stuff. Don't go anywhere. For Dibs, Ann, and Lowe, I'm Joe. Have a great weekend, everyone. We'll catch you Monday at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.